So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the afternoon. Thank you for the liberty that we have to gather freely in this country to talk and study the Scripture. Guide us in our discussion today. May what we say honor thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Alright, so it's nice to have everyone here today. So let's start reading through Exodus chapter 8. And everyone here else that's here that's by some other method?
Leviticus.
Pardon me, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus.
Scary.
Chapter 8.
I thought we were in Genesis.
It's Leviticus. Leviticus, the 8th chapter. Mrs. Grammer, please, this is book that stands to the question, but this is your verse to read. Give me verse 1. And then Faith verse 2, and then Jacob verse 3, okay?
Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bowl of sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And
Gomer
went upstairs.
All right. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 4.
And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done.
And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water.
And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith.
And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put the breastplate, the Urim, and the Thummim. And so we see here in this chapter, we're going to see that this is kind of the official clothing of the priesthood that we're going to be being introduced. Aaron and his sons are going to be clothed with certain types of garments that's going to distinguish them from the priests, from the other people. Beautiful garments that they're going to be wearing. And we see here in verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, and in that time period, in the early time periods of the Old Testament time periods, God would speak to people directly. He would speak to the prophets, he would speak to various people directly. But in this time period that we live in right now, God is speaking to us through his word. The canon of Scripture has been completed. And there's no special revelations that we have, otherwise then the Bible would be not the final authority. And so we have the Word of God as the final authority, and God here is speaking directly to Moses. Now, God instructed Moses to do several things here. In verse 2, he was to take Aaron, who is his older brother, and his sons, meaning the nephews of Moses, or Aaron's sons. Aaron has four sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Those are the four sons of Aaron. Later on we have Nadab and Abihu being slain because they offered strange fire before the Lord. But at the moment, so Moses is instructed to take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments. So he takes Aaron, his sons, and the garments. These are special garments that we'll see here that are described a little bit later on, maybe not in great detail, but they're still garments. And the anointing oil. So he takes it to Aaron and his sons, the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for a sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. So he takes the unleavened bread, he takes the animals, he takes the garments, he takes the oil, And then he takes the sons of Aaron and Aaron himself. And so this is what Moses, God the Lord told Moses to do. Mrs. Grummer, who was Moses to gather? In verse 3.
Okay,
verse 2. 3?
In verse 3. Oh, the congregation.
The congregation. Now, the congregation is the all these people that came out of the nation of Israel, probably came out of the nation of Egypt during the time of the Exodus. Events here in Leviticus are right shortly after this time of Exodus, when God delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh, the persecution they were in. He was to bring them out. God brought them out with a mighty hand out of Egypt. They spent over 400 years in the land of Egypt, and now God has brought them out. We know that they went into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. We read about that in the book of Genesis. There was a famine in the land, and Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt. We have Jacob being the father of the 12 patriarchs, and the other brothers sold Joseph. They didn't like Joseph too well, so they sold him into bondage, and they didn't know what became of him, so they contrived some story, and they took his coat, and they dipped it in blood, and they tried to pretend to their father that he had been slain by some wild animal, and that's what Jacob had thought for quite some time, that his son Joseph had been killed. But that wasn't the case. Joseph went into Egypt, and he rose up to a very high position in the land of Egypt. The right hand, second in command, almost, in the land of Egypt, being Pharaoh's right hand man. And then we see the children of Israel were there. There were some people that didn't know Joseph. But bringing up this background history from Genesis, just to let us know that these events are happening right after the Exodus. There's 10 plagues that happened in the book of Exodus. These events here are taking place shortly after the events of Exodus. Faith, you had a question. Do you have a question, or was that you, Mr. Grimm, had a question?
I wasn't a question, but I had to get the other line.
Okay. I understand.
It was strange because we had all this trouble with
our
hearing.
Got it. I understand. I understand.
Here all day.
Okay. Good. I'm glad it's taken care of, Faith. That's good. So, it's a good thing they didn't have any furnaces in Egypt. Otherwise, they would have had big problems. But, It's not all the time. I mean, there's some. We get a weather report here in a little bit about what the temperature is in Egypt. It's not all that. In Israel, it's not all that whole warmer. But so we have. Mr. Grimmer, you said he was the guy for the congregation. And as I was saying, this congregation is that congregation that came out of the land of Egypt, together unto the door of the tabernacle. Now, so we know the tabernacle is a structure. That God gave Moses a specific instruction how to put together. A structure that was to... there's a picture on the wall over here. On this wall over here, we see the picture of the... it's kind of right beside you, Joanne, that picture. That's the picture of the tabernacle. These are pictures of the temple. The ones up here. The one over there is a picture of the tabernacle. And so, the congregation... How many people came out of the land of Egypt as far as how many men... Or were they age 20? 600,000.
605 exactly.
605. Okay, so we have. Where did the 5 come from?
I read it in scripture.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have. Well, you know, 600, over 600,000 people. 600,000 plus women and children, plus parents and everyone else. So there are millions of people that are coming there in the congregation, standing before the tabernacle. And I'm not sure if it was on a hill, how it was, because I'm not sure how the millions of people could even see, not long here, what was happening. But there may have been some configuration of the topography of the place where the tabernacle was set, so they could see and could hear. Barbara, you have a thought?
Never mind.
Okay. And so Moses was he gathered all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so, well, you remember, okay, what is
it? No, I didn't remember. This is another spot. My rabbinical commentary on the Torah said that it says all the congregation some of the rabbis think it was just the princes and the elders. Because, like you said, for a couple of million people to gather around.
Mm-hmm. So the commentary of the rabbis, modern-day rabbis, are saying it was limited to the...
princes and elders.
Okay. But, so they're deducing that based on the fact of the size of the population. I would guess they're just guessing on all that.
And one of the kings, the Amalekites or the Amorites or somebody, said this people is so vast that they covered the earth. So it had to be a tremendous amount of people.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people. 600,000?
Million. Well, million.
You know, plus 600,000? Plus, you know.
Yeah.
So where's that at, Jacob? Numbers. Find the reference for us, please. Yeah, it would be. Mm-hmm. We're looking for this.
22, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many.
Numbers chapter 22, okay.
But there's another one that says they cover the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's in 22:5.
22:5.
He said, they cover the face of the earth,
yeah,
and they abide over against me. Yeah, but I think there's a better description of this. Anywhere from 22 through 24, this is a lot in here about that. So it's not just here.
So Numbers, Numbers 22 talks about the Moabites' impression of the children of Israel. And so we see they gathered, the children of Israel gathered, and Moses did they gathered at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is where they gathered, and Moses spake unto the congregation, we see in verse 5, and he says, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. So he was acknowledging the fact that this activity that was taking place, this ceremony that was taking place, was a commandment from the Lord. It wasn't something he just dreamed up himself. This was actually a commandment from the Lord. What did Moses do with Aaron and his sons in verse 6? What did Moses do with Aaron and his sons?
Washed them with water.
Okay. So Aaron, his sons, how many sons does Aaron have? You know, you remember, Joanne? How many sons Aaron has?
Did you say four?
That's right. I did say four. He has four sons. Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Those are the four sons of Moses. And we see here in verse 7 some of the things that Moses put upon Aaron. In verse 7, of Leviticus chapter 8, and he put upon him, that is Aaron, the coat and the girdle, with the girdle, and clothed him with a robe. It's nothing a robe. And put an ephod upon him, another type of garment of some sort, and he girded him with the curious girdle of an ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. So these garments were put upon Aaron, and then we see continue on as those garments, and then he put this in verse 8. We see he put a breastplate upon him, and upon the breastplate he put the Urim and the Thummim. These are sometimes when the Urim and Thummim, we'll learn later on throughout the book of Leviticus, they would be coloration, they would change colors determine what the will of the Lord was in some instances. Phil.
Yeah, what is Urim?
It's a stone. There's stones.
Oh, okay.
There's an episode of stones.
I tried looking that up in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't give me an answer. The Bible, in its definitions, doesn't give an answer there.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried a couple other books, and what I did not could come up with on that was it said sacred blocks.
Okay. So that would, though I'm thinking of it more, like the idea of lots.
But the idea,
we think when people draw lots, they draw cards, they draw straws, it's not something that's a chance type of thing. it's a definite yes or no, or is it maybe just wait? Just a second, Jacob. They'll get Barbara first, then you second. Or I guess Barbara second, then you third. Go ahead, Barbara.
The Urim and the Thummim.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The literal interpretation of that is the lights and the perfections.
Okay.
But they didn't. There's nothing known about it except mm-hmm. that it's used for judgment and to like to get answers.
Right. They would. I mean, that would fit in the fact of the coloration. And if they're changing color, or they would be. In other words, they would get brighter, I suppose, if it was a yes or no, depending on which way it was going. Jacob, go ahead, your thought, please, about the Urim and the Thummim.
Yeah,
we finished, Barbara?
They would get very specific revelation from God with this. Where is that in Samuel, 1 Samuel, right? One of them, Abiathar, I think his name was, escaped.
1 Samuel 28:6.
Is it Samuel 6?
1 Samuel 28. Right, okay. 28:6. As far as that, they didn't get a response either by Urim nor by Thummim. Is that what you're the pastor looking through, Jacob, 1 Samuel? That's in 1 Samuel 23, right, Jacob?
Yeah, 22 through 23. It makes it real clear, but it comes up over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's read some more verses here. Faith, I read Mrs. Grummer, you read verse 9. Mrs. Grummer, verse 9, and Faith, verse 10. Jacob, verse 11.
And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront. Did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses?
And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them.
He sprinkled some oil on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the laborer's face to consecrate them.
Are you on?
And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him.
And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets upon them, as the Lord commanded Moses.
And he brought the bullock for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering.
And he slew it, and Moses took the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it.
And he took all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the 2 kidneys, and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar. So, we see in verse 9, you know, what we noticed, what was placed upon Aaron's head, we have a mitre. A mitre that's being placed upon his head. In verse 9, you know, this mitre that was put upon his head, kind of some type of a turban or head, something that goes in the head, like a turban or a hat of some sort, like a fancy hat. I mean, it's some sort. This mitre was put upon his head. And upon the mitre, or was for it, so it came down, this fancy little turban-like hat or hat-like thing. Not like our modern-day hats, but more of have to be fitting into their time period. Upon his forehead, he put the golden plate and the holy crown as the Lord commanded Moses. Again, these are all directives at the command of the Lord. Moses is not just trying to do trying to create his own priesthood here. These are things that are at the directive of the Lord. And so we see here in verse 10, we see that Moses anointed, took the anointing oil, and he anointed the tabernacle, and all that was therein sanctified them. So the entire tabernacle was sanctified with this anointing oil of some sort. Very, very special ceremony that took place. Moses took this anointing oil and he anointed the entire tabernacle, part of the tabernacle proper, and everything that was therein. And actually, in the court, we have special other articles of furnitures of the tabernacle, so that would also be included. It was anointed with this anointing oil. Jacob, how many times did Moses sprinkle the altar in verse 11? How many times did Moses sprinkle the altar? You there, Jacob? Or?
Yeah, several times. I have to go get something for
Got it. I understand. Thank you for helping. Thank you for helping with that, Jacob. I appreciate that. It's a lot of hard work, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, but okay.
I know it is. I'm glad you're doing it, though. And so we see it. He sprinkled upon it seven times, anointing the altar, and all the vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. Now, the laver meaning the foot. The laver is a place it holds water, and so it's on a stand. And so that's what it's talking about, his foot, the foot of the stand on which the laver is positioned. So all this is anointed with the special anointing oil. And as Jacob said, it was seven times. It was anointed, a very specific number, seven times. And we see that Aaron was sanctified, by the fact that his oil was poured upon his head. And it was anointed. And that sanctified him. Now, sanctified has the idea of being set apart for a particular purpose. This identified Aaron, this anointing of his head, of anointing himself upon his head, was signifying that he was going to be set apart for a very specific purpose, to do a very specific thing. That was to be the high priest of the nation of Israel. And then we see in verse 13, we see the same thing, very similar thing that happened to Aaron, happened to the sons. The sons have these coats being put upon them, the girdle, the bonnets. Again, this is still at the directive of the Lord. And Joanne, what was laid upon the head of the bullock in verse 14?
They put their hands on the head of the bullock.
Their hands? So they brought the... These very at the beginning of the chapter, this is one of the things that Moses was to bring. And so they put the hands upon the head of the bullock, that's to identify with the bullock, that to transfer, to give, to communicate something, that by putting the hand upon the bullock, you're identifying the bullock is going to do something for you in your place. And so they did this. They laid their hands upon the head of the bullock, and this bullock was going to be a sin offering. We have the burnt offerings, the meat offerings, the peace offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings. Those five major types of offerings. And in this instance, we see here that this is going to be a sin offering that's going to be offered. And in verse 15, we see the word reconciliation. Is being introduced here in verse 15. And so the fact that this bullock was offered upon the altar, that was a form of reconciliation that was taking place. So it was slain, the bullock was slain, was killed, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar, so there's four horns, round about with his fingers, and purified the altar. Now he already had sanctified it with the special oil, with anointing oil, But now he's put this blood upon the horns of the altar and purified the altar. And then we see the blood was poured at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it. So we have not only Aaron being sanctified, we also see here the altar itself is being sanctified. And we see that the fat and the kidneys and the caul, all this belongs to the Lord. All these things belong to the Lord. The fat, the caul, and the kidneys, all that belongs to the Lord. That was put up on the altar and given to the Lord as an offering, as a sin offering. Let's read some more. Mrs. Gerber, verse 17. Faith, verse 18. And then Jacob, 19.
And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat.
And he washed the inwards and the legs in the water, and Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was burnt, a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses.
And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram.
And he slew it, and Moses took up the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his foot.
He brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of the right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar of the ram.
And he took the fat of the rump, and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat, and the right shoulder. So, this next few verses here we just looked at. So, Phil, in verse 17, what was burnt without the camp?
The bullock. It's hide, flesh, and dung.
Hide, flesh, and dung. So those parts they didn't want to keep for the sacrifice. They took them without the camp. It was burnt with fire without the camp. Again, this is based on the instruction of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then we see that we have the ram being brought into the discussion, into the illustration. The ram comes in verse 18, and Aaron and his sons put their hands upon the head of the ram, upon the head of the ram, and he killed it, thinking that the Jacob, you have a thought?
Oh, yes. I was thinking about Hebrews 13, 11 through. I mean, 13 was far. Well, 14.
Hebrews 13.
Hebrews 13.
4 and 5.
Okay, 13. I'm thinking 10 through 13. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest and sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, being sanctified by the people with his own blood, covered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I think one more verse. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13, 10 through 15.
13:10-15. Okay. So, we see them identifying with this ram. They put their hands in it, then we have the ram being killed. Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar around about. And so, in verse 20, Barbara, what did Moses do to the ram?
He cut it in pieces and burnt the head and the fat. And the pieces of it.
Okay. So it was all cut in pieces and it was burnt up on the this was a an offering unto the Lord. And we see here in verse 21, again, the Lord is giving instruction to Moses as far as what to do with inwards and the legs. And so he washed the inwards and the legs with water, and we see that Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar because it was a burnt sacrifice. But yet, the scripture says it was a sweet savor, unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. I wonder if this is Jill. I'll have to see. If it is Jill, we have to, you call it last, we'll have to, I know she can't hear me yet, but I'm saying we can make an outbound call, we get two people, but we can't have, there's no more room on the inbound calls. So maybe it's not going to, maybe we'll have to see who it is. So,
Pastor Dan, somebody could call somebody and put them on three-way. Somebody could call somebody
yes.
And put them on three-way.
That's right, we could do that, Jacob. Maybe you want, if it is Jill, you want to do that? Jacob, if it is Jill, would you want to do that?
I could do that, but I don't have her number.
Okay. Do you have more than my phone, Jacob? Well, what the way, Jacob, we'll just wait till it happens. When it happens, we'll figure out how do you do that, okay? That's what I was going to do, Jacob, but that's better if you do it. That way I won't have to hang a faith and then call Jill up and then get the faith back and then get you back, lose you and get you, so it's better if we do it that way. There's a system we do have, we can have more than multiple people calling in and it just fills it in. But nonetheless, we see here what is happening here as far as the burnt This offering unto the Lord. It says it's a sweet savor unto the Lord, an offering made by fire. And again, we see in verse 22, the ram of consecration was brought, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. Again, to identify the fact that this was going to mean something, the meaningful thing. The transference of the sin of their sin to that of the ram, so that ram is dying in their place in a certain sense. It was being offered an offering in their place for them for something that they wanted to do for this sin offering. Mom, what did Moses do with the blood of the slain ram in verse 23?
I put down the blood of Adam's right ear tip of. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Okay, so we have the right ear, the right thumb, and then we have the great toe, the big toe we have on our foot. That was what was what happened to some of the blood from this sacrifice. All this that was happening from all that. Now, we notice in verse 24, Aaron's sons also had the blood applied to them. And he brought Aaron's sons. What were their names again? What's one of the names?
Nadab.
What's another name? Bayou. Another name? And Eleazar, what's the last name? Last of the four sons' names?
Ithamar,
that's right. Nadab, Bayou, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And so he brought these sons, and the same thing was done with them. Blood, the right, always the right. The right ear, the right thumb, and then the right toe, the great toe, as Scripture says. And then the blood was sprinkled upon the altar, round about. And then we see in verse 25, Moses took some things. He took the fat, the rump, and the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caudal of the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat, and the right shoulder. And these things, we'll see what's going to happen later on with these things that he took in verse 26. But let's read through verse 26 and following. Mrs. Gormer, you read verse 26. Faith, you read verse 27. Jacob, verse 28. And then Joanne, you pick up verse 29. 26, Mrs. Gormer.
And Adam
before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oil bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all these in Aaron's hand and in the son's hand and laid them as a wave offering before the Lord.
And Moses took them from off their hands and burned them upon the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor as an offering of fire and
all right, go ahead, 29.
And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord, tore up the lamb upon consecration, which was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses.
And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons and his sons' garments with him.
And Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it.
And that which remaineth of the flesh and the bread shall ye burn with fire.
And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you.
As he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord. Ye die not, for so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so we have here verse 26, and we have here verse 26. Hello, Faith. Good to have you back. I'm sorry, I guess we got disconnected here with the conversation of. I'm sorry about that. With the conversation, can you say? Are you there, Jacob? You still there, Jacob?
I am.
Good. Good. Okay. I'm glad that you know that you're there. Okay. Yes. Are you there? Are you there, Faith? Okay. Hi. Hello. Hi, Gary. Thanks for saying hi. You have a thought, did you? Question or comment?
No. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
No. Have Jacob call up. Have Jacob call up on the another line. Have Jacob call Jacob. Jacob. Get Jill's. Have Jacob call Jill, or have Jacob call Jill.
You know what? I
don't
have that.
Okay, so Jacob is going to call Jill, and we're going to have at least with this system. As I said before, there's another way we could do this with more than one system.
You should come.
But yes, you're right. I agree. I'm sorry, Jill, we're having trouble. Jacob's going to call you, maybe. Okay? Maybe if you need to have a conversation with, I know there's a lot of activity. Okay, that sounds nice.
Jill's going
to call you, right? Okay, I'm sorry about the, maybe we should get the system hooked up, that way people could call in. It doesn't manage too much. But, yes. Yes, Jacob. Jacob, you have a thought?
They're talking to you.
Yes, I know. Okay, so, in verse 26, we see the things were taken out of the basket. Yes, Jacob.
I hate to interrupt you, but won't they do that real quick? I'll go ahead and hit the red button.
Yeah, that's fine. You can put me in hold, Jacob. And then get Jill on the line and then hit the right button again. You will be back, and Jill will be back, and Faith will be back. Okay?
I can do that without even hitting the red button.
Okay. Good.
Hold on. I'll call
whatever button you have to hit, Jacob. It's fine. Okay. So in verse 26, we see these certain things were taken. These things were taken out of the basket of unleavened bread before the Lord. He took one unleavened cake, a cake of oil bread, and one wafer, and put it on the fat and upon the right shoulder. Okay, this is upon, you know, this is part of the how they're doing this, the sacrifice system. You know, this may be Joel coming on the line. What was done, Tammy, verse 27? What was done with the contents of the basket that was removed? Verse 27.
All of the contents were put on Aaron and his son, put in Aaron and his son's hand.
They were put on the hands, okay? The hands of the basket, understand. They were put on the hands of Aaron upon the son's hands, and they waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. As we said before, a wave offering, we noticed there was this heave offering, something that was lifted up, and then we have the wave offering, things that were waved before the Lord. And so we notice there's a sweet savor that's before the Lord. In verse 28, Moses took them from their hands, and Moses took them from their hands and burnt them upon the altar, and the burnt offering, and consecrated for its sweet savor. Are you still there, Faith? Faith, are you still there? Jill? I mean, Jacob, are you there? Jacob, are you there? Okay, wait a minute. We'll have to. I'm here.
Let them listen. All right, that's fine.
And so we see Moses wave these things before the Lord. Moses took the breasts and waved it for wave offerings before the Lord. And for the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, Mrs. Gerber, are you still there? What did Moses do with the anointing oil and the blood? What did he do with the anointing oil and the blood in verse 30?
Did you say wait, verse 30?
No. What? I have a question for you from verse 30.
Oh, okay.
Well, my question is, what did Moses do?
What did Moses do with the anointing oil?
Yes.
And the blood? He sprinkled it on Aaron and his sons and their garments.
Yes, and upon his son's garments. And then we notice we're sanctified again with him and sanctified Aaron. That's again setting him apart and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments. So both Aaron, garments, sons and sons' garments were set apart, were sanctified. Bill?
It sounds like the way it's phrased here that it all... Moses also puts them on himself too,
okay.
his garments as well. So it's Aaron, his sons, and also Moses.
Looking at verse 30, you see the from verse 30.
Yeah. And Moses took of the anointing oil and the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and on his garments. And upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him and sanctified. Oh, okay, not this verse. I must be thinking of another verse in here.
Okay. So, a verse you have to come, Bill, you think? Maybe?
Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find here in a moment here. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat. With the bread that is in the basket of the consecration, as I command, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And so, what were Aaron and his sons to eat? They will boil the flesh, and they will boil it there at the door of the congregation and to eat that flesh. And the remainder was to be burnt with fire. If there was anything that was left over, it needed to be burnt with fire. Faith, for how long is the consecration? Or Jacob, if you could chill back. Jacob, All right, I understand. Faith, for how long is the consecration?
Okay, it's hard to concentrate, Gary. You're just talking.
Verse 33.
33?
Yes, for how long is the consecration?
7 days.
7 days. And so this is the length of the consecration. And again, we have the Lord giving a command here. Lowering in all capital letters, references to this Hebrew word. Behind this English word, lowering in all capital letters, is the word Jehovah. As he hath done this day, so the Lord commanded to make an atonement for you. An atonement, this idea of kafar, a covering for them. Not like the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is permanent. This atonement is a temporary atonement of a sort. And how long must one abide by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation? Day and night, 7 days. How long was supposed to go? 7 days and seven nights. Jacob, what did Aaron and his sons do? In verse 36. Yes, all the things. Not some of the things, all the things. When the Lord commands us to do something, we need to do everything He tells us to do. Not just some things, not just what we want to do. But do all the things that God tells us to do. And in this instance, that's what was done, at least initially. And we see later on in the chapter, in the book of Leviticus, that Nadab and Abihu want to do things their way, and not God's way, and so God killed them, slew them. So, Joanne, what can you appreciate from chapter 8 of Leviticus?
That they did as commanded by the Lord, okay. So that they wouldn't die.
They did as commanded, that's good. And we too must do as commanded. Sometimes we, if Christians look too much in sin, go too far into sin, God will take them home early. Bill. First, what are some things you can appreciate from chapter 8?
The same answer I've had for the last couple of weeks. That I don't understand the significance of all these things and how they relate to what Jesus had accomplished.
All right. And so it's all pointing to that, as you know.
I know it points to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's... Somehow I know there's a greater significance in what I'm thinking of.
Right.
There.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been able
to. You're just looking at the form of how it's the procedures that are being done, right, Bill?
Yeah.
You're looking at these procedures that are being done in this system, and you're not seeing a deeper application or deeper
right.
typology behind it, right?
That's
okay.
It.
You'll have your answer on Sunday when I bring it.
Okay. So, Barbara, what can you appreciate from chapter 8?
The great Shema of Judaism is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Mm-hmm.
When they anointed the high priest, the first thing they did was anoint his ear. Mm-hmm. Then they anointed his hands, and then they anointed his toe, or his thumb, mm-hmm. and his toe. On the right.
The right side, yes.
Faith cometh by hearing. Until you hear, until
so
you hearken and understand, you cannot do with your hands,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot follow with your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the consecration of the total person. We are no less
mm-hmm.
need to hear and do and walk
right.
in the path.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
When I was in, I remember as a little child in Sunday school, we sang a song, Be Careful Little Ears, What
yeah.
You Hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Father up above looking over us
mm-hmm.
in love.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful little ears, what you hear. And that's what mm-hmm. I got out of this with the consecration
of the
high priest. His ear,
his thumb, and his toe. That's good. All right,
the
blood, the blood.
Feet where you go.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What about you, Mama? Some things you appreciate from this chapter?
I was glad when we got over that.
Okay, so you're happy you got over. Yes, we finally got over. We're almost over. Unless we can see the end, perhaps. We can see it from here at the end. And even though we've had some phone problems. But it's getting closer.
I mean, chapter 8 is over with.
Yes, uh-huh.
I know it's all picture in the Lord Jesus and everything. I keep wondering how often a day do these priests do this, are do a lot of them do a lot of, you know, like 10 priests do 10 offerings. How do they get all those people? And if they all come and they all have sins to be forgiven, or they want to give a thank offering, there's all this. How can all these people get in on all this?
Very organized. Very organized, very efficient, very from morning to evening. All you can take continual. It's a continual thing.
Right.
A continual thing. It was continual and continual and continual.
They have a service. They have so many days of service.
Yes, they do.
I'm sure they're glad when their days are done so they can rest.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there must be a spiritual blessing for them, but I really honestly don't catch on to it.
Well, to serve the Lord and to be number one, to be a priest. And they'll minister in the tabernacle.
Right.
That's a very special honor that they had.
Right, it is.
Yeah.
The intercession between God.
Yes. You had a follow-up thought, Barbara, did you, by what she was saying?
Yeah, the priest was the intercessor.
Yes.
Because Christ is our great intercessor. Mm-hmm. There is only one between God and man.
He's at that point before the cross. And what's after the cross? Jesus Christ is our, the Lord Jesus Christ is now our mediator. Tammy, what were some of the things that you appreciated from chapter 8 of Leviticus chapter 8? Okay. I'll listen.
This morning I was reading in Acts, and it was interesting how Acts chapter 10, verse 37 set right in with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the consecration and the sanctification of Aaron and his sons
here. Yes, we do.
In this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So they were being devoted and set apart. And it says in verse 38 of chapter 10 of Acts, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But the point that really struck me was that, because I was thinking about that, had to be anointed as priest.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in this verse, this is Peter talking to Cornelius and company, and so he was talking about how he was anointed, and then it made me think about how he was our high priest in chapter 7 of the Hebrews, in contrast to these priests that had to be, you know, a lot of these verses talk about how, well, the realm of consecration was something. It was setting them apart. It was devoting them, but it also there probably was some. It was in verse whichever one it was. One of them, one of these last ones, there was an atonement that was
mm-hmm.
being made.
Right.
And so, and you know, it talks about Christ and how who needed not daily as the priests. The Old Testament
right.
to offer up for his own sins. I'm just
I understand.
I'm not reading anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just all jittery because everything's
dropping. I understand why you're jittery though. I can empathize with you.
Anyway. So and then verse 26 and verse 27 of chapter 7 of Hebrews. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for his people's. But this he did once, when he offered up himself. For contrasting the Levitical priesthood
mm-hmm.
with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Melchizedekian priesthood.
Right, it was an enduring priesthood, right? The other priest died in replaced and died and were replaced and died and were replaced. But and then like you mentioned earlier, once for all sacrifice. You know, this seemed like a lot of work these priests were going through.
That.
You know, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he accomplished all this work for the work of redemption, not just a temporary covering, but a permanent work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. It's permanent.
33 years.
No, 33 years. More thoughts, Tammy, or not? No. How about you, Mrs. Gregory? You have any thoughts?
All of it, actually.
Verse 37, all of it. So you like all of it. You appreciate all of it. It's good to appreciate all of it. How about you, Faith, in verse... What can you preach from chapter 8, Faith? Good. And Jacob, what are your thoughts about your appreciation of chapter 8, rather?
I have to go back to what I said 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dan.
Okay. So you're going to repeat what you said 2 weeks ago. Good. That's good.
It's the comment on that verse that Bill kept, and that kind of back to Bill.
Yes.
At the last
his favorite verse. Uh-huh.
Doing all this.
Yes.
But I have to go back to Hebrews 3.
Okay.
And let's see how far do I go.
Hebrews 3, okay.
Hebrews 3, I think 1 through 6 is sufficient. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy and much more glory than Moses. And so much as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. Every house is built of some man, but he has built all things of God. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And I'd like to say that it could also refer to chapter 4 and 5 of Hebrews, and 6 and 7 and 8, mm-hmm. and 9 and 10,
yes.
and 11 and 12, and even 13.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a lot. I'm not going to read it all. But
sorry. Maybe next week, Jacob.
Yeah.
Or maybe we get chapter 12. There's one chapter coming up where we have only 8 verses. So, any more thoughts anyone has about Chapter 8 of the book of Leviticus? More thoughts or comments?
I wish everyone would come to class. I know it's hard for Jacob and his mother,
it's not that hard, is it?
People locally can come.
Yes, that's right. That would be nice.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to hear.
Right.
And mm-hmm. we get a lot of feedback, and it's just...
Right.
It's very confusing.
Yes. Yes, we do. Joanne, your thought.
I have a question. If the Jews do not believe in Jesus,
yes.
why are they no longer doing sacrifices for their sins and things like that?
Well, because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD.
And because there's no temple, they no longer are doing the sacrifices?
That's right. The sacrificial system, they can't because the temple's destroyed, and they were kind of pushed away and dispersed. And so they're still doing... worshiping him completely, and they're still looking for the Messiah. You know, so. Bill.
Also, in the United States at least, it's illegal to sacrifice animals like that.
Okay.
Especially on that scale. In many European countries, mm-hmm. it's that way too.
Yeah. Still do in European countries?
No, it's just.
No, it's not legal in most European countries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that's he's a Jew, and he's also from the tribe. Levite, and he's a butcher.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that's why that he's a butcher, because that he would know about
maybe.
These things.
It could be. There's possible relationship there. It may not be. I mean, maybe did he learn? Do you know if his father was a butcher?
No, I don't know. I just know that.
Is he still? You still see him every now and then?
Yeah, I just.
Well, maybe you could ask him his father, his grandfather, great grandfather, if yeah. butchering is in his And from his memory, if it's in his family line,
yeah.
that's an interesting thing. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I didn't think about it until
right.
mm-hmm. we were studying this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Understand. Mom, go.
I had an uncle. Uncle Donald Burke, married to my Aunt Norma, my mother's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a butcher. He had a butcher shop.
Okay.
And
in Ohio?
Yes. And other butcher shops. You know, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and it's cold in there. They have it's cold. And then the farther back you go, past refrigerator thing where you see the meat and stuff. It's real cold.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There was always sawdust on the floor.
Yeah, right? Sawdust. I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sawdust.
Yeah, so you remember visiting him in his butcher shop, do you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I used to visit my aunt, and then we'd go to Uncle Don's butcher shop sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
interesting.
I
haven't thought
about that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you remembered it. Mm-hmm. I remember it. That's good to remember those things for.
I don't think they read about them in live to him. I don't remember. I don't really know, but I don't remember ever hearing that. But in this story, these stories, they were live.
Accounts. The accounts, right? You're talking about the accounts of Scripture?
Yes, in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I try to picture, you know, when they're taking the animal and they mm-hmm. take him outside the camper, they take him someplace. They kill him certain places, they kill him other places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just must have been a gory right. occupation. Mm-hmm. They really did need time off. They must have dreamed about it. So they got used to it. But I guess from a child, they would be taught how to do it.
Right. I don't know what their dreams were, if they remember the dreams or.
They ran the family, so they had.
But I mean, it was part of their. Before the age of refrigeration, which of course this was before the age of refrigeration, you know, they this is more common.
Uh-huh.
You know, even people that weren't Levites, they weren't the priests. They were used to having to kill animals to get their food. Right, the clean animals, the clean beasts.
I vaguely remember. I don't know if it was a neighbor, but there would be an animal that they had killed hanging mm-hmm. from a vine.
Well, there's sometimes when people go hunting today, they go hunting for deer or for uh-huh. you know, different things, squirrel, raccoons, you know.
Yeah, deer.
They feel sometimes they feel dress it. People go fishing. It gets the fish. They have to dress the fish.
Right.
You know, ever feel dressed an animal, Jacob? Are you still there, Jacob?
No, we lost him.
You know, I know people that we feel dressed animals. You know that.
Never have
feel
dressed
an animal.
I was listening to all the.
Okay. Right. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you know what? I have done that.
Okay. Good. Our rabbit, and I guess you were talking about snakes too, Jacob, weren't you, before too?
Yeah, you talked about snakes, but I never skinned a snake.
Okay. Snakes like chicken.
Since everything else.
your thoughts? Okay. All right, that's it. But getting back to the rabbit, Jacob, I mean, there's a certain way, a certain technique your father showed you how to do to dress that rabbit, right?
Yeah.
There's certain steps you take, and so have you had dreams about this rabbit incident, this rabbit encounter?
No dreams about the rabbit.
Okay.
But,
no rabbit dreams.
Doing it when I was a kid, but mm-hmm. It was a long time ago.
Right.
My dad taught me how to do it.
Right.
That's good.
Okay. So maybe they were used to the procedure of killing animals.
Yeah.
I mean, in tabernacles, there's certain procedures that have been done for specific purposes. It was for, you know, the five different types of the burnt offering, the peace offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. These are the offerings that we're doing. Tammy, your thought?
Well, anyone that's ever gone fishing, my brother and my father mm-hmm. is fishing.
Right.
When I was younger, you know, they would catch right. fish, mm-hmm. and then, you know, it seems like my father did the cleaning, and my mother would cook it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember her cleaning it per se.
Okay.
But you have to, you know, get all.
So it came back clean. It came back ready to cook when your mom had it, probably.
Well,
for the most part.
I think so.
Pretty
I
close. Well, we're thinking about
sure.
it. We don't want her to have dreams about this fish, do we? But I remember. I mean, I probably have a dream tonight about this fish that I wasn't much successful with fishing, but I knew some people that were. But anyway, they had this one, it was a common acquaintance that I had, that I watched him clean the fish, press the fish. And to him, it was like second nature. To me, it was kind of, that's kind of strange, you know, kind of weird. But he that's how we get the fish. You have to clean the fish. There's a certain procedure you follow. You know, step one, step two, and then there's certain steps you follow. And it doesn't seem like, you know, you look at it and say, well, how can you do that? You know, it's kind of icky looking. But to him, it wasn't icky because it was just, he's done it all the time. He got used to it. And so to these priests, they developed from a very young age. They were just brought up this way, mm-hmm. part of their culture.
Right.
Do you have a thought?
Well, my husband cleaned the fish once in my kitchen, and that was the last time he cleaned them in my kitchen.
Okay, right.
He cleaned them outside.
Were you watching him clean it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they scaled the fish, and the scales are all over the counter, all over the sink. So for that.
My acquaintance did it outside too.
He had
a little setup outside. Right. Probably his mother had him set up outside, and he was able to do it outside. He didn't do it inside. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. That's not a good idea. I mean, he did it once in the kitchen. That was the last time he did it in the kitchen.
I remember when I worked in the kitchen in an old people's home in a nursing home in Germany. We had fish for dinner. And it was fresh fish, and it came intact. And it was my task to clean and gut fish for 100 people.
Okay.
And so I, by the time I got to the 100th one, it was like nothing.
Okay. But it took a while to get to nothing.
No, because in college I had taken anatomy and physiology, and we had to cut up our cat.
Okay.
So once I got past that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Super. Once after you do the cat, you know.
But the cat was traumatic.
I'm sure it was, yeah. It was
but traumatic. After I got over it, I was fine.
You know, my grandmother would buy a chicken. She would pick out the chicken. It was alive.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have to kill it, and she didn't have to do that. She would give it
to tell the butcher, I want this chicken, and he would bring it back and
ready to cook up. Finish her shopping, then go back to the guy, and he would have the chicken was all done. I mean, usually...
He would be ready to feathers off and everything.
Right, feathers off. But
that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick.
Well, she would finish her shopping.
I know, but even then, what I'm saying is, I would think it would take longer than that, so she finished her shopping, it would be done.
Right.
Interesting.
I mean, he would have his head on, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't cut. The head was always
because
they wrung
their
necks.
So that's what they must have done.
Yeah,
because it wasn't cut. You know, it was like...
Okay.
I remember...
Right. So you remember seeing this...
Oh, yeah, because my grandmother would show me, too. And they didn't have... The insides weren't on. Because I remember she would show me inside the chicken, and it had, like, eggs that were in there sometimes. You know, they weren't... Mm. It looked like a yolk or whatever. Mm. And she would say, this is the chicken's eggs and things like that.
Hmm. Interesting.
Not very appetizing.
Well,
it was
probably.
It tastes like Chickenville.
We don't think about it, actually.
Right. No, I mean, the egg. My grandmother would cook the egg part of it, you know, and it tastes like
egg.
An egg, yeah. Like a hard boiled egg, only without the white egg. Okay. It's like the yolk.
Okay, interesting. Mind me thought about this discussion today.
Well, I remember when we had Thanksgiving and we'd go to my Grandma Barker's.
Yes.
And the women would be there, and the children, and the men wouldn't be there. They were out hunting. They hunted on Thanksgiving. They must have got up real early in the morning.
Right.
And went Uncle Don, and I don't know who else. Maybe some of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing to do with us. My dad didn't go hunting. My uncles weren't. My family and uncles weren't hunters. I don't think any of them were.
I've seen some turkeys
around here.
I've already got them because I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah. I saw three of them together, and then I saw one by himself.
Yeah. Recently?
Yeah, recently, like in the last week or so.
Well, I think there's quite a few of them around.
I
just,
you know.
I wonder why they're around.
Because it's illegal to kill them.
Huh.
Even a yardie's on my table.
I wouldn't be able to eat.
I just remember that the women talked about them.
Okay, so they went hunting on Thanksgiving, they came back, and then all of a sudden, the guy showed up at the table.
I really hunted on Thanksgiving.
Good.
ways around here?
Yes, there are. I've seen those.
We have it here in Gloucester City. We've seen it, yeah.
That's something, isn't it, Faith?
Yeah.
Running around Gloucester City.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Any more thoughts or observations about Leviticus chapter 8?
Right. There's a reason it's a bloody religion. Bloody process. Up to your neck in blood. Somebody, I have a book, and this guy actually figured out on the median average amount of blood in an animal, and he was talking about David's procession when he took the ark up. Yeah. And he estimated the thousands of gallons of blood. He said literally the whole field, the whole way, because everything.
The miles and miles of animals.
They sacrificed hundreds of animals, and he said he was literally like everything was covered in blood.
The dedication of the temple.
Oh,
dedication of the tabernacle, whatever, dedication of the temple. With Solomon, right?
No, when David took the ark up.
Well, with David, it's been dark. David's a dark.
Well, and Solomon, too, for that matter.
And so, Anyone have any more thoughts or comments about that? That's interesting. So I was always tabulating how long, if you had, like, the animals in trucks and so forth, you know, they transport animals, say, in trucks, how long it would go from here to in the camp, maybe in the Philadelphia, if you line the trucks up with 16 or train cars, however you want to look at it, from here to, you know, close to Philadelphia, if not, I'm not sure, close to Philadelphia, if not into Philadelphia. I forget what I came up with back in the conclusion, because I didn't have all my great statistics. I was estimating how many animals would fit on a boxcar, and how big the animals would be, but anyway. But that's interesting work. I never thought about doing the blood figure, as far as how much blood was in each animal. More thoughts about chapter 8. Leviticus. Lord willing, next week we'll do chapter 9. And but before we get to next week, let's close with prayer. Jacob, would you please close in prayer?
Father God, thank you for this time today. We can study your words. And thank you so much that you sent your precious only begotten Son to be this lamb, to be this spotless, sinless lamb. Take away the sins of the world, not just to cover them temporarily from year to year on the Day of Atonement. We know that the blood of bulls and goats and rams could not take away sin. One atonement that paid for the sins of the whole world, up to whosoever would, that they come. Thank you so much for your unspeakable gift. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining the class, everybody.
You have-